Chapter 27. Fellow, and I threw you into the society I can still command. Having done that, my dear fellow, I consider that I have provided for you in life, and rely upon your doing something to provide for me in return. Apostrophe, I do not understand your meaning, sir. Apostrophe, my meaning, Ned, is obvious. I observe another fly in the cream jug, but have the goodness not to take it out as you did the first, for their walk when their legs are milky is extremely ungraceful and disagreeable. My meaning is that you must do as I did, that you must marry well and make the most of yourself. Apostrophe, a mere fortune hunter. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried the son, indignantly. What in the devil's name, Ned, would you be? Apostrophe, apostrophe, returned the father. All men are fortune hunters, are they not? The law, the church, the court, the camp, see how they are all crowded with fortune hunters, jostling each other in the pursuit. The stock exchange, the pulpit, the counting house, the royal drawing room, the senate, what but fortune hunters are they filled with? A fortune hunter. Yes. You are one. And you would be nothing else, my dear Ned, if you were the greatest courtier, lawyer, legislator, prelate, or merchant in existence. If you are squeamish and moral, Ned, console yourself with the reflection that at the very worst your fortune hunting can make but one person miserable or unhappy. How many people do you suppose these other kinds of huntsmen crush in following their sport? Hundreds at a step, or thousands? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the young man leant his head upon his hand, and made no answer. I am quite charmed, apostrophe, said the father, rising, and walking slowly to and fro, stopping now, and then to glance at himself in the mirror, or survey a picture through his glass, with the air of a connoisseur, that we have had this conversation, Ned, unpromising as it was. It establishes a confidence between us which is quite delightful, and was certainly necessary, though how you can ever have mistaken our positions and designs, I confess I cannot understand. I conceived, until I found your fancy for this girl, that all these points were tacitly agreed upon between us. Apostrophe, I knew you were embarrassed, sir, apostrophe, returned the son, raising his head for a moment, and then falling into his former attitude, but I had no idea we were the beggared wretches you describe. How could I suppose it, bred as I have been, witnessing the life you have always led, and the appearance you have always made? Apostrophe, apostrophe, my dear child, apostrophe, said the father, for you really talk so like a child, that I must call you one. You were bred upon a careful principle. The very manner of your education, I assure you, maintained my credit surprisingly. As to the life I lead, I must lead it, Ned. I must have these little refinements about me. I have always been used to them, and I cannot exist without them. They must surround me, you observe, and therefore they are here. With regard to our circumstances, Ned, you may set your mind at rest upon that score. They are desperate. Your own appearance is by no means despicable, and our joint pocket money alone devours our income. That's the truth. Apostrophe, why have I never known this before? Why have you encouraged me, sir, to an expenditure and mode of life to which we have no right or title? Apostrophe, apostrophe, my good fellow, apostrophe, returned his father more compassionately than ever, if you made no appearance, how could you possibly succeed in the pursuit for which I destined you? As to our mode of life, every man has a right to live in the best way he can, and to make himself as comfortable as he can, or he is an unnatural scoundrel. Our debts, I grant, are very great, and therefore it the more behoves you, as a young man of principle and honor, to pay them off as speedily as possible. Apostrophe, the villain's part, apostrophe, muttered Edward, that I have unconsciously played. I to win the heart of Emma Airedale. I would, for her sake, I had died first. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I am glad you see, Ned, apostrophe, returned his father, how perfectly self-evident it is that nothing can be done in that quarter. But apart from this, and the necessity of your speedily bestowing yourself on another as you know you could tomorrow, if you chose, I wish you'd look upon it pleasantly. In a religious point of view alone, how could you ever think of uniting yourself to a Catholic, unless she was amazingly rich? You ought to be so very Protestant, coming of such a Protestant family as you do. Let us be moral, Ned, or we are nothing. Even if one could set that objection aside, which is impossible, we come to another which is quite conclusive. The very idea of marrying a girl whose father was killed, like meat. Good God, Ned, how disagreeable. Consider the impossibility of having any respect for your father-in-law under such unpleasant circumstances. Think of his having been viewed by jurors, and sat upon by coroners, and of his very doubtful position in the family ever afterwards. It seems to me such an indelicate sort of thing, that I really think the girl ought to have been put to death by the state to prevent its happening. But I tease you perhaps. You would rather be alone? My dear Ned, most willingly. God bless you. I shall be going out presently, but we shall meet tonight, or if not tonight, certainly tomorrow. Take care of yourself in the meantime, for both our sakes. You are a person of great consequence to me, Ned, of vast consequence indeed. God bless you. Apostrophe, with these words, the father, who had been arranging his cravat in the glass, while he uttered them in a disconnected, careless manner, withdrew, humming a tune as he went. The son, who had appeared, so lost in thought as not to hear or understand them, remained quite still and silent. After the lapse of half an hour or so, the elder Chester, gaily dressed, went out. The younger still sat with his head resting on his hands, in what appeared to be a kind of stupor. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.